Well, good evening, everyone. It looks like it's start time. Good to see your faces. Welcome to our Wednesday evening attunement service. So, Gary and I are your hosts for this evening, and we're really looking forward to what we're going to dive into here. So, I am going to open the space here. And we'll just get centered in. We'll do an opening prayer and just bring this love energy from on high into this space. And so let us just take a moment and go within. I'll invite you to close your eyes. And let's take a deep breath together. And so as we breathe into this moment, present in the here and now, let us feel into this container of people, these divine lights that have come here this evening to commune, to open, and to feel the power and the presence of that one life that is coursing through all of us. And this life is the life of the divine. Each of us is an expression, an emanation of this beauty, this love, this joy, this exquisite and powerful love. This is the truth of who we are. And so I simply bless this space. I know that spirit is moving through each of us, and that every heart that is willing to open receives a gift. And so let us just bless this time together. And know the highest and best is coming through all of us right now. And so it is. Amen. So thank you all for sharing in that. I thought it'd be nice to sing together. We will sing muted, just so you know. We've tried the unmuting thing and it's a challenge, but I want to, this is a wonderful chant by Karen Drucker, and it's easy to sing along to. Chris is going to play a video that has the lyrics on it, so I'll invite us to sing together and to really look at the people on your screen and let us sing this to each other. We can mute ourselves and sing along with the song. So it's called The Face of God by Karen Drucker.
You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face of God.
Tu es l'image de Dieu.
I hold you in my heart.
Tu es l'image de l'amour.
You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face of God.
Tu sei la luce di Dio. I hold you in my heart.
Tu sei il volto dell'amore.
You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face of
love. You are the face of love.
I hold you in my heart.
Thank you guys for those of you, I saw some of you singing. Something powerful, man, I sure wish we could be together because there's something powerful when you're standing with people and you're looking them in the eye and you're singing that to them. Now, you can imagine that, right? Let's imagine that right now that we just did that. Oh, major heart opening. So thank you all for singing and getting into this space that we're in. Gary and I are going to be expanding upon something we've been working with, a theme, the quantum leap. And that idea has been moving with me quite a bit. And the definition, as Gary and I were looking up some things last night and discussing this, I love this one thing, this one simple definition of what a quantum leap is, says is a very great and sudden increase in size, amount, or quality. For me, in my experience, these quantum leaps are more about the quality of my being. And I think for many of us, we've had those quantum leaps in our life. You know, sometimes a quantum leap, a sudden increase in size, amount, or quality can result from a life experience. I think of, you know, people who have had maybe a near-death experience, who have completely felt the presence and the power of the divine and know that there is something. bigger. And there is something beyond what we see right here in this reality. People come back from that experience, come back to this human experience, changed. They've changed because they know something. They've felt something. They've had an experience that changed the way they see things. And so that is a quantum leap, something like that. And maybe some of us have had experiences like that. Maybe it's not a near-death experience. Maybe it's about someone who has come into our life, or maybe a child, or maybe losing someone. There could be many ways, many events that could initiate that kind of an awakening, a moment, a quantum leap. And what I've noticed a lot in my experiences, like I've had some quantum leaps happening for me recently. And I would say that those in my experience are more about some of the patterns I've been working with for years. And then me finally, through my practices, through my attunement practice, through prayer, through meditation, you know, through connecting to source, and through allowing a higher wisdom, a higher love, a higher peace to move into my experience, I finally then become a vibrational to match to that which I really want to happen. That can be a quantum leap, even though it seems like sudden. Like I've noticed for me lately, it's about a mindfulness thing. It's about really being aware of what I'm thinking, the thoughts about myself or about another, and really being conscious of being at choice. See, we have that power, and a lot of times we don't use it. For me, I get better at it over time. I'm sure many of you have this experience too. Like over time, over years of practice and years of working with things, it does get easier. And these quantum leaps can start to happen for us more often because we've been working with those higher vibrational energies. We've been opening to the divine. We've been working with our own consciousness. So I'm really excited about diving into this topic tonight and having Gary Goodhue expand on some of the spiritual principles behind this. We think about a quantum leap, and he's going to expand upon that and talk a little bit about the one law. And so I'd like to go ahead and invite Gary to bring his light and his wisdom.
Thank you, Cece. Hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to talk with you this evening. It's a pleasure to be talking, actually, with the exception of a few meetings that I've had have been observing silence. So that's really nice to be able to share. I've actually been observing my own kind of battle between mind and heart, or my intellect and feeling realm. And sometimes the intellect wins over and sometimes the feeling does, but working that balance point. However, tonight wanted to share what Cece has been talking about, and with what David brought out in service on Sunday, this idea of a quantum leap. And it's my desire and intention to use some of the intellect to weave together science and spirituality and mix in some examples of personal experience. And nothing I've found weaves together science and spirituality better than quantum physics. It really touches on some of the deeper truths of reality. And I put a lot of thought into what I want to share here. I want to start out just by kind of refreshing on Sunday with what David brought out, quoted from the Pulse of Spirit that recently put out, which I believe David got from Encyclopedia Britannica. And speaking to the quantum jump. If energy is added to an atom, an electron can use that energy to make a quantum leap from a lower to a higher orbit. This energy can be supplied in many ways. One common way is for the atom to absorb a photon of just the right frequency. For example, when white light is shown on an atom, it selectively absorbs those frequencies corresponding to the energy differences between allowed orbits. So what is this? This is saying that there's certain orbits, there's certain states of existence that an electron exists in. And when something such as photon or white light comes into the picture, the electron can absorb those frequencies, and that allows it to quantum jump into a new state of being, a new orbit. This is an analogy. This is a metaphor almost for the human experience and consciousness. And every metaphor is going to break down at some point, because it's just using to exemplify and describe the thing itself. But there's a lot of correlations that I see are happening between this explanation and what happens with us in consciousness. One of the first things I thought about when I first heard David speaking this on Sunday was the one law. And I love the one law. If there's anything I can look at as far as underlying law of causation, of creation within the universe, it's that. And I immediately thought of response and attraction. And I think that's what's being described here in a way. And I just want to reread another part of that. For example, when white light is shown on an atom, it, the electron, selectively absorbs those frequencies corresponding to the energy differences between allowed orbits. We're all existing in different orbits all the time. We have states of being, states of mind, states of attitude. And these states are permanent. They're always there. It's part of creation. They exist. We're the ones that are fluid, as in with consciousness. We're able to move in and out of states. I could be happy in one moment and depressed in another. What happened? Did the state of happiness leave me and depression come in? No, I shifted from this state to another state. I shifted my orbit because I have this ability to selectively absorb the frequencies. And all of us do. There's frequencies, and somehow we can select which ones we want to respond to. There's tons of stuff happening, and we are at a choice point of what it is that we're responding to, which then affects us. And we go through a process which is mostly automated then of attraction, union, and the unified radiation, of calibrating our vibration towards the frequency with which we're responding to. And this happens over time. David's making some really good points inside of this pulse of spirit relating this quantum jump to human consciousness. And one of the things I saw was this point between time and space, essentially, where it seems like we're advancing at an incremental speed, bit by bit. But then there's this moment of instantaneous change. And so this measure of advancing over time, this kind of incremental calibration of frequency, is, I believe, the process of attraction, of moving from here to here. And then when that space of union hits, in the moment, because there's only one moment ever, we're instantaneously vibrating at the exact same frequency with that to which we've chosen to respond to. Now, something that I was seeing about this whole process and how it happens within us is that it doesn't work instantaneously. It reaches a point where there's an instantaneous change, but up until that point, there has to be enough force and for the overriding vibration to actually become the dominant factor. Here's what I mean by this. I'm upset about something and I want to be happy. So maybe I go and put myself in a situation that would normally stimulate happiness, but it's not instantaneous. I don't just walk in and boom, all of a sudden, hey, I'm happy. I forgot about everything I'm upset about. No, there's this like process that happens where I have all this upset energy that's like built up, and it has this inertia that's building, working in my consciousness. And I have to respond and resonate to the frequencies of happiness around me until that becomes the stronger energy field that I'm holding. And as Cece and I were talking last night, one of the things she asked was like, okay, so how do you do that? And I thought about it and I came up with a three-step process that I think is kind of universal. It involves awareness, choice, and focus. So the first step is awareness. And for anyone, this is a common thing in quantum physics, the observer state. I have to be aware of what state I'm existing in. If I don't even recognize that I'm upset and I'm in denial, my chances of consciously shifting out of that state into another one are not very high. It's going to be pretty rare that I'm allowed to make that happen because I'm not even self-aware enough to know what orbit, what state I'm existing in. But once I'm aware that I'm in a space that I don't want to be in, then I have the opportunity to make the choice to move into a different state. And that choice happens by shifting my attention. So instead of thinking about the things that I'm upset over that are circling around my mind, I have to shift my attention onto something that's going to make me more happy. And that choice is something that we always have because all states already exist. Creation happens, and that's a quantum principle. Everything already exists. We're the ones that are fluid. We just have to shift our attention, shift from one state to another. So I make that choice. And then once I make that choice, I have to come to a point of focus or concentration. I find concentration as the ability to move the attention and to hold it at a particular point for as long as I desire. So why does this process happen more quickly or more slowly for one person versus another, or at one point in your experience versus another point? I believe it's because of the intensity. The more intensely we respond and fully surrender and give ourselves over to the activating element, the energies, the white light, the faster we're able to move through attraction into a space of union, into that quantum jump into a new level. And that's the focus. Now, if you have experiences like I do this, and then, you know, I'm upset, I want a shift, so maybe I'll sit down and I'll put myself inside a certain frame of mind, put on some music, and start to relax and shift into things, shift into a more relaxed, happy space. And then before you know it, I'm immediately aware that I'm thinking once again about the things that just upset me. And so I haven't shifted yet. So I have to go through the process again. Okay, that's where I'm at. I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to put my attention back over here. And now I'm going to focus. I'm going to intensify and hold it there as long as I can until that is the present state that I exist in. And I'll know it because there's no slipping back out of it at that point. I'm in a new space. A quantum jump has happened. And so the key is dwelling in the space that you want to be in and continuing to return back to there as often as is necessary, as often as you become, a person becomes, I become, you become aware that you're not in the space that you want to be in. Then you make that choice and dwell there as long as you can, because that's what allows the things to move through. That's what allows that energy to intensify and become then the dominant and overriding energy presence within the field of consciousness. Once that union has occurred, unified radiation is the next natural point, because that's moving through you. So it's naturally coming out of you. And the two main principles of the one law are this radiation and response. There's something always going out. There's something always coming in, you know? So I want to be in control of what's coming in, because that will affect what's going out from me. One of the biggest examples I can use of how I've used this over the past, say, year and a half and still currently do is with a situation with Bex and the health challenges she's had. And we've been going through a number of points that are, one could say, life-threatening. And there's been fear that's come up in me many times. And I've had to shift into a state of faith that everything's going to be okay and everything's going to work out. And I never had to embrace faith much before in my life. I never had anything that was potentially dooming that I really had to exercise faith with. And so I've continued to do this over and over. Every time a fear thought comes up in me, I move into a different space where I use affirmations sometimes, or just reminders that everything is going to be okay. Everything's working itself out. And I'll imagine into a reality, and I'll shift myself into another state of calm and relaxation and expectancy of things working out. And I stay there as long as I can. And then fear pops up again, and I'm right back at it. I recognize it with awareness, make a different choice. So I did some further research, and I want to share this also, which I find very interesting and relates to our process. This is actually out of an article from Scientific American regarding quantum jumps. They were talking about some research that they did. The research team used measurements of side activity taking place in the circuit when the system had the lower energy. This is a bit like knowing which show is playing on a television in another room by only listening for certain key words. This indirect probe evaded one of the top concerns in quantum experiments, namely, how to avoid influencing the very system that one is observing. Known as clicks, from the sound that old Geiger counters make when detecting radioactivity, these measurements revealed an important property. Jumps to the higher energy were always preceded by a halt in the keywords, a pause in the side activity. Now, again, they described keywords as a bit like knowing which show is playing on a television in another room by only listening for certain keywords. Have you ever become fully aware in some shocking way almost of the tapes that are running in the background of your own consciousness? This like self-dialogue, and sometimes how negative it can be, where it just like keeps going, whether it's a distrust in life, a lower self-esteem, value in self, a disbelief in possibility. I think there's these tapes that happen, and it's kind of like some show playing in the background in another room. And every once in a while, we catch a whiff of it. Certain words pop out. I think those actually stop us from making that quantum leap, because it specifically says right there that the jump to the higher energy was always preceded by a halt in the key words, a pause in the side activity. So when we can recognize that there's some negative self-talk, some tape playing out in the background of our consciousness, and bring that to a halt, we've just quantumly increased our chances of moving into that higher energy spectrum. I believe it's as true for us as it is in the world of electrons. Here's another paragraph that I took out of this article that I want to read. A catchable quantum jump, so they observe it happening, they catch it. A catchable quantum jump will always proceed on a trajectory through the superposition of the excited and ground states. Those are the two where it's in ground and jumps to an excited state. But there can be no guarantee that the jump will ever finish. At each point in the trajectory, there's a probability that the jump continues, a probability that it is projected back to the ground state. So the jump may start happening and then abruptly get canceled. The trajectory is totally deterministic. but whether the system will complete the trajectory or not is unpredictable. I think this is mind-blowing to me. This completely relates to our experience of ability to shift states. I know I've seen it in my own realm where I'm frustrated, I'm upset, I don't want to be. I want to be happy, I want to be at peace. So I focus on what I want to do. I make that choice. Now I've got a trajectory. But do I actually make it all the way to the quantum leap? No, not always. No, sometimes I default right back into the same state, even though I set my sight and I started on a journey. Either some of that side activity comes in and it knocks me back, or maybe I begin to have some doubt come in, or I start imagining the other circumstance and my frustration over it, and boom, I'm out of the whole quantum leap experience until I become aware, I make another choice, and then I refocus and decide to dwell there. And to the degree that I'm dwelling there with my focused attention, like to praying without ceasing, fully being in that space, then that is possible and potential. Before I bring us into our next space, I saw something on the wall today in the administration building here at Sunrise Ranch, and I clicked a picture of it on my phone. I think it totally relates. I want to share this with you. It's called To Pray Without Ceasing by Martin Exeter. Whatever arises, let me dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Let there be a place of stillness in the midst of turmoil. Let there be a place of ease amid disease. Let there be a place of order in the chaos. Let there be a place of love and beauty in the midst of fear and ugliness. Let my presence be a beacon of enfolding radiance in every circumstance. Now, the truth is, there may be turmoil, and there's also a place of stillness. It already exists. There's a place of ease already existing, even though dis-ease is occurring at the same time. But the let, that's the choice that we can make. Let it be so. Recognize that it already exists, and then make the choice to dwell in that space. It's a power that we have. And if we exercise it and stay determined and diligent with it, with the dwelling, quantum leaps will occur. And whole new life is available. Life made new, as it said. But we also have to be aware of the side activity, those tapes that are running inside of the background. So we're going to do a little exercise right now. Let's call it listening solo instead of listening pairs, because this is a solo exercise. If you have a piece of paper and a pen, well, that'll work out really well. And if you need to go grab one real quick, do that. And if you don't have one anywhere available, just be with yourself in your own thoughts and mind as you contemplate some of this. We're going to take about 4 or 5 minutes, and it's going to be written inside of the chat, but here's the instructions. Tune in to a current reality that you would like to shift, and bring into your awareness some self-talk or disempowering words that you say consistently about yourself that are actually helping you to create the reality that you want to shift. These might be I am statements, I am this, I am that, my statements, my life is this way, my opportunities are like this, whatever it is. Just try to still some of the other thoughts. Think about what it is that you're wanting to shift out of inside of your current experience, your current reality, and then give some awareness and listening to what disempowering self-talk comes up around that. What's being identified with? The energy that already has inertia, because we're going to overcome that inertia. So let's just take a few moments now to go ahead and work with that, journal, or just be with your own thoughts, meditate upon it. And when you feel complete, go ahead and just look back into the screen, back into the camera. And Cease is going to pick up from there once we're complete with this part of the process. So you can just look back into the camera to let her know that you're complete. And you may not need 5 minutes.
We can just try to wrap that piece up. Just looking here to see if everybody's finished. All right. So now that we've kind of tuned in to those inner dialogues that aren't really serving us, we're going to go ahead and going to take you into a very, it'll be a quick meditation, but we're going to tune in to something higher here. So I'm going to invite everyone to just go within, close your eyes, take a breath, and bring into your awareness this piece of reality that you want to shift. In this relaxed and open state, let us invite in something higher. Let us open ourselves. Let us be willing to open. And I'll invite you to imagine sitting right with you, someone, a being of light, of love. It could be your higher self, a spirit guide. It could be Jesus, anyone that you feel a connection to, any being that is a guiding force in your life. And as you're sitting with this individual, just feel the presence, the connection. How amazing it is to be sitting in the presence of this one. And I'll invite you to bring some questions for this being of light that you're sitting with. Ask them about this circumstance that you'd like to shift. And ask them the question of, what do I need to let go of? What do I need to let go of? And simply listen to what is coming through this being that you are with. And I invite you to ask them one more question. Ask them, what is the truth of my being? What is the divine truth of me? Just allow what they say to penetrate as we're ending this time with that being of light that you've called in to have this conversation with. I'll just invite you to give thanks, appreciation for their visit within your imagination. And I'll invite you to open your eyes and come back to the room. So what I'd like to do now is, while this experience of having this conversation is fresh, is for each of you to write in the chat from this experience you had with talking to your higher self or your spirit guide or whoever, an empowering statement, an I am statement. Could be the truth of your divinity, whatever you felt and heard and what was revealed to you in that time and put together your own I am statement that will empower you to shift to this new reality. What's the truth of it? What's the truth of you? And I'll invite you to write your I am, your affirmation of truth in the chat. And as they come in, Gary and I will take turns reading them. I am the goddess of life itself.
I am as God created me. The love and peace and grace of God is shining through me.
I already am what I am seeking.
I am the reality of stillness, patience, and blessing.
I am awareness embodied as being.
I am whole.
I am a priestess of the golden veil.
I am that I am.
Let go of all that old you, back to allow. I am to come forth in the moment.
I am a liberator of truth, an instigator of change.
I am at peace.
I am enough.
I am strong, healthy, active, and excited about life.
I can come forth divinely without hesitation.
I am you. You are me, we are one.
I am a supernova of creativity.
I am loving and kind.
I am free to be me. Come as you are.
I am highest realization of self.
I am grateful for the being that I am. I will give blessing into this world.
I am capable of handling any circumstance.
I am powerful and worthy of love, respect, and appreciation of my gifts.
I dwell at the top of the mountaintop.
I am a quantum being.
I am the axis of balance, peace, and love.
I am setting the truth free.
I am strong, healthy, active, and excited about life.
Thank you, everyone, for your participation in this. One more just came in. I am created from divine love. So we want to open up some space now for a little bit of group discussion. If there's something moving through you and you want to share any insights or just to bring your voice into the general space, please just remember to be concise and so thereby allowing time for others to share as well. But we do want to hear you. So this is that time. Just unmute and bring your I am.
I have something to share. A small item. In so far as the quantum leap or jump is concerned, a change in context changes the meaning of everything. This is a principle, basically, and just something to ponder on.
Thank you, Peter. I loved this. This is great. And as we went into that meditation and I sat with, my guide, I called Archangel Michael in, and I was just so amazed at how, like, the communication just felt so clear and it was just so effortless. And it was like, there was a permission given to shift this, you know, to bring it into my consciousness and to shift it. And it's so powerful. And I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, the shift was described by Gary as letting. You use the word letting. And I think it's not a matter of, for me, it's not a matter of trying to achieve some higher state or climb to some higher state, but the reality is already present. The truth is true. And so it's more like letting yourself rise, letting yourself go up almost backwards so that you're not in the emotional state or the rational mental state, but you're actually capable of seeing it for what it is in your own presence and atmosphere. So whether it's one's own state and all these side things that are going on, or whether it's what you see going on around you, you can know that it relates to yourself, and you can know that you can be honest, and you know you can shift this tendency to bury everything and rationalize and actually start to be affected in bringing the truth into the world.
Thank you, Bob. What I'm inspired about is the fact that we're in a time in history where the veil between the ego consciousness and the divine consciousness of who we are is getting so thin, thinner and thinner and thinner. So the magic of being able to take that focus and remember who we are and be in that state more often is here like never before. And it's really awesome that we get to share this and move more into that state of being together.
Thank you, Catherine. Phyllis, we have something? I think you're muted there.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I felt an amazing depth of what we shared together, the power of it, and felt something deeply touched in myself that feels revolutionary. And it's been an amazing time of what has been accomplished in just this simple understanding of the process. It's beautiful, and thank you so much. Thank you to all of you, because it all contributed. Thank you.
Gary, I appreciated the time that you put into preparing this and thinking about it, just as I did with David, and the time and the energy and the particular insight to lift something out of one context and see it in a divine context. And as David wrote, The Pulse of Spirit, we have those eureka moments, or those Damascus moments, those conversion, those awakening moments that have to do with turning to see the light, not with trying to do something, not struggling with something, not with gimmicks or techniques, but our spiritual practice is in turning to be the light, being face forward to that which brings the exact frequency of light that's needed for that shift. And this is it. People are looking everywhere for it. It is our moments with David in service. It is these times of service on Wednesday night. It is our attunement practice. It is everything we are already doing that produces the quantum shift, not looking for something external. So beautiful to hear your work in that. Thank you.
I was reminded of a class that I took with Martin back in 1980. It was called an assembly. And after a very beautiful talk that Martin gave, he looked directly at me, and it was just the power of that glance that was a quantum leap for me. He was saying, in effect, come, be with me where I am. Come near unto me. He wasn't looking for someone who was following after him. He was looking for someone who would walk beside him and be in the same place that he was dwelling in. And that is what I have sought to do ever since that powerful quantum leap moment.
Beautiful, Jerry. I love that you brought that into this space, because obviously we have the power to shift our own reality, but it's just when we're in that space, when we're really bringing that light, allowing the light actually to come through us, when we're surrendered to that, and with a glance or just our presence for someone can actually be a quantum leap for them too. That's the truth of it. So thank you for bringing that in, Jerry. And I just want to One of the things I wanted to comment on, I noticed like in my practice, you know, part of prayer is just like declaring the truth. And it's amazing what happens to a person, and I can speak only from my personal experiences, when you're repeating words with feeling. So like when you're in prayer and you're like, I am one with the divine, I'm an emanation of all that is, I am an eternal multidimensional being, I am that, and I am full of love. And in speaking those words and feeling it, the truth of that begins to appear in the knowing. And when you know something, it actually, that's the reality. So I think, you know, I know we, in an hour, we get a lot in there, but I just encourage everyone to claim your divine heritage as much as you can in your prayers, as you're driving along, reminding yourself of the God being that you are, and how much power that this presence that it lives within each of us has to assist us in making these quantum leaps. So let us just bless each other in this moment. Thank you all for being here. So grateful for each of you, for the heart that you bring to this ministry, to Sunrise Ranch, to one another, and to this world. You are beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Cece and Gary and everyone. Good to see everybody. Love you all.
Love you too, Ron.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Cece.
Bye, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, Cece.
Good night. Yes. Thank you, Cece and Gary.
Bye.